All right, so injection molding. I know what you're thinking. Not the most exciting topic, but honestly, this stuff is everywhere.
Yeah, you really don't realize it till you start looking.
Seriously,
Yeah.
phone cases, coffee makers, even parts in cars. All thanks to injection molding. And today, we're going deep on it, using all the articles and notes you sent in.
So think of this like your personalized crash course and how it all works, from design to finished product.
Right, we're going to cover the essentials so you can spot good molding versus like the bad stuff out in the wild.
Exactly. And maybe win some trivia night somewhere with all this injection molding knowledge.
There you go. All right, so got to start somewhere. And one of the things that popped up a lot in what you sent was this thing called the parting line.
Ah, yes. The parting line. Kind of a mystery till you get what it is. One source called it the fingerprint of the whole injection molding process. I kind of like that.
Fingerprint, huh? I can see that. So break it down for us. What makes this line so important?
Okay, so basically, it's where the two halves of the mold, they come together. And you wouldn't believe how much choosing where that line goes can mess up or make a design.
Wait, seriously, just that one line?
Yeah, for real. Like one article you sent had this story about a water bottle, right? They put the parting line right in the middle. So obvious. Just this big seam running down it.
Ugh, yeah, I can picture that. Totally ruins the look.
And it's not just looks either. If it's not aligned right, it could even cause leaks.
A leaky water bottle. Talk about bad design, no thanks.
Right. And get this, even the type of material matters too. Like softer materials need a less obvious parting line to avoid that seam showing. So it's tricky. You've got the shape of the thing you're making, then the material, and even the angle of those mold walls, all deciding where the line should go.
There's a lot more to it than just slapping two halves of a mold together.
Way more. It's strategy, that's what it is. You're playing 3D chess almost, with all these factors.
And speaking of strategy, this next thing is kind of related: wall thickness. It sounds simple, but one source had this story about, I think it was a gadget case that warped completely because the walls were too thick.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember that one. The Goldilocks problem, they called it.
Too thick, it takes forever to cool down, too thin, and it's like flimsy, breaks easily. Real design headache.
Totally. And it gets more interesting because that thickness actually affects how you position the core and the cavity of the mold. Those are the parts that create the hollow space inside,
It's like if the walls are too thick somewhere, the molten material might not flow in right
Well,
or cool unevenly.
exactly. It's all about even distribution, so you don't get weak spots or those pools of material. Like that smartphone case got to be strong enough to protect the phone, but not feel like a brick in your pocket, right?
Right. So another balancing act:
Right.
strength, cooling time, material flow. Gotcha.
And that actually brings us to something really crucial, and it might sound obvious, but it's alignment. Getting those mold halves to fit perfectly, huge deal.
Yeah, I can imagine. I think one of the sources even compared it to like making 1,000 perfect jigsaw puzzles from a mold that's even slightly off.
Perfect analogy. Even a tiny misalignment can cause that excess material squeezing out, flashing, or even worse, damage to the mold itself. And those things, they're not cheap.
Oof, yeah. Replacing a mold sounds expensive, so how do they make sure everything lines up so precisely?
Well, there's the craftsmanship side for sure. But the real game changer is, you guessed it, technology, guide pins to keep things in place, calibration of the machines. But the real hero is CAD software.
CAD, right? I was reading about that. Designers can basically simulate the whole injection process virtually, like a test run before they even build the real mold.
Exactly. They can spot those misalignment issues super early, tweak the design, even test out all sorts of what-if scenarios, like having a virtual lab, basically. Avoids a ton of costly mistakes.
So CAD software is like the ultimate insurance policy for injection molding.
Pretty much. It's that level of precision you just couldn't get before. And speaking of materials, I always wondered about that.
Right, what DOs they use. Like, as a kid, I thought they just melted down old plastic toys.
No, it's way more interesting than that. There's a huge variety. One article compared steel molds to the copper alloy ones. Steel's tough, but takes forever to cool. Copper, it gets rid of heat fast, but isn't as strong.
See, I never knew that. Then they talk about this hybrid thing: steel frame, but with copper inserts in key spots.
Yeah, that's designers getting clever, you see. They use the strengths of each material where it makes sense. Plus, it's not just the mold itself. The material of the final product also impacts everything. Strength, how flexible it is, even the surface finish.
Oh, the surface finish. Yeah, one of the things you sent talked about how that affects not just how it looks, but also like friction and adhesion. whether it's slippery or grippy, you know?
Exactly. It's all connected in the end. And this is where things get creative. Designers are always trying new materials, new combinations, really pushing what injection molding can do.
Wow. Okay, so we've covered parting lines, the whole wall thickness thing, alignment, and even dipped our toes into the world of materials. This is way more intricate than I ever realized.
It is, and honestly, we're just getting started, but we should probably take a break here. We've got a lot more to cover.
Right. All right, so stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back with even more injection molding insights.
Don't go anywhere.
All right, so we're back, and we've laid some groundwork, you know, the basics of injection molding. But let's get real for a sec. What are the big, like, the biggest challenges that designers actually face with this whole process? I mean, we're talking molten plastic under pressure here. Seems like things could go south real quick.
Oh, absolutely. Things can definitely go wrong. And one of the biggest things, one of the most critical things, is making sure that mold itself can handle the pressure, like the insane force involved. We call it structural integrity. And if a mold fails, well, the whole production line can just stop dead.
Yeah, I was reading in one of these sources about a designer. Early in their career, they put a core element in the wrong spot. And when they did the injection, the mold basically crumbled.
Oof, yeah. I can only imagine. That's why those simulation tools, those virtual ones we talked about, those are so, so important. Designers can analyze like the stresses and strains on the mold all before any real plastic is involved.
So it's like a stress test for the mold, but in the computer, right?
Yeah.
Before you build a real thing.
Exactly. You give it a virtual workout, make sure it can handle all that pressure and heat without warping or cracking.
Okay, that makes sense. But here's another thing I was thinking about when I was going through all the stuff you sent. What about shrinkage? You know, you're injecting molten plastic, so as it cools, it's got to shrink, right? Doesn't that mess up the final dimensions, like the size and shape of the part?
Great question. And yeah, shrinkage is a huge EE thing designers have to think about. It's not as simple as just saying, oh, we'll make the mold a tiny bit bigger. Different plastics, they shrink at different rates. And even the injection process itself can change how much shrinkage happens.
So how do they get it right? Like, is there some magic formula?
Well, there's something called shrinkage data sheets. They're like cheat codes, almost, like for a video game, for how different materials are going to behave. These sheets tell you all about how much a certain plastic should shrink as it cools, based on all sorts of factors.
So it's like having an insider's guide to material behavior.
Pretty much. And using this data, designers can tweak the mold, you know, the cavity, to make up for that shrinkage. That way the final part comes out the exact right size and shape.
That's pretty cool. Like when you're baking bread, you have to account for the dough rising.
Perfect analogy. It's all about knowing your materials, knowing how they're going to act, and then adjusting your process to match. And, you know, we've mentioned alignment a few times already, but it really can't be overstated. I mean, it seems basic, but getting those mold halves lined up perfectly, that's make or break for the whole thing.
Yeah, all the stuff you sent really hammered that home. Even tiny misalignments can cause major problems.
And it's not just about those cosmetic things like the flashing we talked about or if a part is warped. Misalignment can actually damage the mold itself. Wear and tear happens unevenly, and that can actually shorten the mold's lifespan.
But I'm guessing these molds aren't cheap to replace.
Not at all. They're precision engineered, really high tech, can be super expensive to make a new one. So yeah, protecting that investment, making it last, that's huge.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So how do they get that precision? It's got to be more than just eyeballing it, right?
Yeah. Oh, way more. There's guide pins, of course, and they calibrate the machines regularly to keep them accurate. But honestly, this is where those advanced CAD systems, they really shine. Remember we were talking about simulating the whole injection process? Well, that same tech can also be used to spot and correct even the tiniest misalignments while they're still designing the mold.
So they can see in the computer how the two halves of the mold are going to fit together before they even build it.
Exactly. It's like having X-ray vision, but for your mold design. Right. You catch those problems early, make the adjustments, and you're golden.
So structural integrity, the shrinkage thing, and then alignment. Those are like the big three challenges.
Yeah, you could say that. Although there's also that tricky balance between how something works, the function, and how it looks, the form. Something could work perfectly, but if it looks clunky, nobody's going to want it.
Like that saying, form follows function. But it doesn't hurt to look good.
Right. Exactly. And that's where the creative side of injection molding comes in. With the software they have now, they can control the look of the final product like never before. Sculpt those crazy shapes, add textures, even see how the light's going to hit it, all in the computer.
No way. So they can see, like, if it's going to be shiny or matte. before they even make it.
Yeah, it's like a virtual design studio. Play around with light, shadow, form. It's amazing.
It really is. Technology is blurring the line between engineering and art with this injection molding stuff.
It is. It's a good point. And, while we're on the topic of blurring lines, let's talk about the future of this tech. We've touched on some of it, but I think it's worth digging a little deeper, see where things are headed.
Yeah, for sure. One thing that really stood out in all the research you sent, it's the rise of sustainable materials. Even injection molding is getting a green makeover, it seems.
Absolutely. Bioplastics are becoming more and more common. Those are made from renewable sources, things like cornstarch or sugarcane. So instead of all that petroleum-based plastic. And I'm guessing there's also a lot of focus on like reducing waste and energy use in the process itself, too.
Definitely. Mold designs are getting better, and the way they control the process is more efficient. It all adds up to a more environmentally friendly approach.
That's great to hear. And what about 3D printing? I know that's usually for prototypes and stuff, but I was reading that it could actually be used to make the molds themselves.
That's right. 3D printing is changing the game when it comes to mold design and how they're made. Complex molds, really intricate stuff, they can be printed out super fast and with incredible precision. So yeah, rapid prototyping for sure. But even for smaller production runs, 3D printing is becoming a real option.
So you could literally design a mold on the computer and then just hit print, and bam, it's ready to go. That's wild.
It is. And that kind of speed and flexibility, that opens up a whole world of possibilities. Customized stuff, on-demand manufacturing, the future is getting pretty exciting. Okay, so 3D printing is a game changer for sure. But what about AI, like artificial intelligence, and machine learning? The articles you sent made it sound like having a super smart design assistant or something.
AI and machine learning are already making a big impact in the injection molding world. They can analyze huge amounts of data, find patterns, and suggest things that even experienced designers might not think of. Imagine a program that can spot potential problems with your design before you even run a simulation.
So it's like having a virtual injection molding guru by your side.
Pretty much. And the cool thing is, AI can learn from experience. It's constantly improving, getting better at optimizing designs, and predicting how things are going to turn out.
So it's not a static tool. It's actually getting smarter over time.
Exactly. It really is a fascinating time to be involved in this field. And we're just getting started. There's so much potential for innovation and new advancements.
This is all really cool. But before we get too lost in the future, let's bring it back down to earth a bit. Let's talk about some real-world examples of how injection molding is being used right now.
Sounds like a plan. Ready to see injection molding in action.
Absolutely. Let's do it. All right, so we've talked theory, the challenges. We even looked ahead at what's coming next in injection molding. But now I kind of want to bring it all home. What does this process actually make? Like real-world stuff.
Well, you're surrounded by injection molded products every day, honestly. Think about your smartphone.
Okay, yeah, my phone.
The casing, the buttons, even a lot of the stuff inside, that's all injection molding.
Oh, right. And remember earlier when we were talking about wall thickness, like that Goldilocks thing, we used a smartphone case as an example.
Exactly. Injection molding lets designers hit that sweet spot. Strong enough to protect your phone, but not so thick it's like carrying a brick.
And it's not just the outside, right? I bet a lot of those tiny little components inside our phones, all the techy bits, that's injection molded too.
You got it. Connectors, housings for the camera lenses, even some of the circuitry. All those tiny parts molded to fit perfectly.
It's kind of crazy how something that seems so basic, just injecting plastic into a mold, can make such complex stuff. What other examples come to mind?
Let's see. Healthcare is a big one. Lots of medical devices rely on injection molding.
Okay, healthcare. Like what specifically?
Everything from simple things, syringes, IV parts, all the way up to really complex stuff. Prosthetics, surgical instruments.
Wow, so it's not just gadgets and gizmos, it's literally helping to create life-saving technology.
It is. Injection molding's perfect for medical stuff because it's so precise. And you can make sure everything's sterile, which is obviously super important.
Yeah, of course, in a medical setting, everything has to be super clean. But I bet the ability to make those really intricate shapes and details is also huge in medical design.
It's essential. Think about a prosthetic hand, all the little mechanisms in there, or surgical implants with those really complex shapes. Injection molding lets you make those parts not only functional, but also biocompatible, so they're safe to use inside the body.
That's amazing. So we've got smartphones, we've got medical devices. What other industries are big on this injection molding thing?
Well, the automotive industry uses it at TON.
Cars, really?
Oh yeah, dashboards, door panels, even stuff under the hood, engine components, lots of injection molded parts in cars.
So it's not just about looks in a car, it's about how well it performs and how safe it is too.
Absolutely. It lets them make parts that are lightweight but super strong, so you get better fuel efficiency, and if there's a crash, the parts hold up better, keep people safer.
You know, it's funny, now that we've spent all this time talking about it, I feel like I'm seeing injection molding everywhere. It's like this hidden world that's shaping, like, so much of our lives.
It really is. Working behind the scenes to make things that make our lives easier, safer, more enjoyable, all thanks to injection molding.
So as we wrap up this whole deep dive, what are some key takeaways you'd want our listener to walk away with?
Well, more than anything, I hope they've got a new appreciation for how complex and clever injection molding really is. It's not just about melting some plastic. It's a whole process, you know? Design, material science, engineering, it all comes together.
Right. We talked about all those factors. Parting lines, wall thickness, getting the alignment perfect, even figuring out how to deal with the plastic shrinking. It all matters.
And we saw how technology is changing the game. Simulation software, AI helping with designs, new sustainable materials, even 3D printing for making the molds themselves. It's a really exciting field.
It's been an eye-opening deep dive for me, that's for sure. But before we go, I want to leave our listener with a little something to think about.
Okay, I like this. A final challenge.
So listener, imagine you could design anything using injection molding. You've got all the knowledge we talked about today. What would you make? What problem would you solve? Or what cool new thing would you create? Let your imagination run wild.
And hey, who knows? Maybe your idea will be the next big thing in the injection molding world.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the world of injection molding. We'll be back soon with another topic to explore. Until then, keep learning, keep asking questions, and most importantly, keep creating.